Hi guys, Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com, live once again at the old workspace here at home. It is Thursday, May 21st, according to this little box on my computer. I can't keep track of the days because I'm trying to work ahead a little bit. This is your goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast for Thursday, again, May 21st, brought to you by Thoughts, Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remaxability Plus. I want to remind you, as I will in every one of these, that if you're looking for a outstanding dinner or to simply support our local businesses during this complicated time, please keep in mind our restaurant sponsors, the East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, the 6th Street Dive around downtown Lafayette, Arnie's in Lafayette, West Lafayette, and all over the place, Bruno's on the Levee and the Whitaker Inn out in West Lafayette, as well as Triple X on campus. Keep them in mind if you're looking for dinner. All remain open for carryout orders as they eventually transition back into reopening, and I'm sure they'd appreciate hearing from you. So if you're getting this video on our YouTube platform, please hit the subscribe button at some point in time. More than just me will be coming across that, and that will be a joyous day for all of us. Today's topic, I wrote my column a little bit about this yesterday at goldenblack.com. If you're a member, go check it out if you haven't already. But kind of like after all of this COVID stuff is over with, what normal kind of looks like instead of new normal, which I think should be banned from our vernacular because it's been overused during this whole ordeal. I termed it more the next normal in terms of what all this may mean for college sports once the dead period, among other things, lifts and normalcy of whatever kind can kind of resume from it. So just a couple of things I think, you know, could change from all this. Some of them obvious, some of them not so obvious. I think I've talked about this before. It will be interesting to see how college programs in football and basketball having to make the most of this in recruiting, the best of this, I should say, in recruiting, how that changes them from an innovation perspective, how it changes the process moving forward. Some of the things we're forced into sometimes are positive changes. And, you know, I do kind of wonder about, I don't think the head coach in-home visit in December is ever going to go away. I don't think the official visit for a prospect to a campus ever can go away. But I do wonder a little bit about some of the secondary in-home visit types of stuff, things. I do wonder about some of the really early unofficial visits, whether or not some of that stuff can be replaced or at least augmented, complemented, whatever it may be, by some sort of digital component where you don't have assistant coaches flying all over the country, being away from their families, spending thousands and thousands of dollars and God knows how much airline fuel, whatever it may be, to basically just show up in a kid's school just to be seen. You wonder if maybe some of that stuff, there's not a solution there where you can find a happy balance between guys spending all of their lives traveling in December and January and a prospect just being willing to get on a Zoom call or whatever technology it may be at the time. I think there's something to be said for that in recruiting. From an unofficial visit perspective, those things cost a hell of a lot of money for people to make. And, you know, you wonder if perhaps instead of a family spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on a 5-campus tour, maybe they can just ask those 5 schools to take 45 minutes out of their day or whatever to have a meeting to do one of these virtual tour things. Who knows what it may be? That could save a lot of hassle and a lot of money and a lot of time for a lot of people. And you know what? If the college isn't willing to do that for you, that tells you where you stand, kid. That might be a unintended benefit from that sort of thing. I'm probably stretching this a little bit. I think the in-person part of recruiting is always going to be significantly important to the process, but I'm just thinking there's maybe a component to it that some of the changes that have been forced upon people can occur in an enduring manner. That's the recruiting part of it, in my opinion. I think the live sports part of this too, in terms of events, obviously is going to change in some capacity. I said yesterday in my column, if you like paper tickets, you better remember those days fondly, because I think they're numbered. It's just not, it seems like the era of passing things back and forth, that we don't necessarily have to be passing back and forth all the time, are probably numbered. I also think digital ticketing, e-ticketing, whatever it may be, just makes too much sense anyway. I used to get a paper ticket for every flight I got on. And as soon as I downloaded a ticket onto my phone and scanned it to get on the plane, I wondered what the hell I was doing all of these years. Where have you been all of my life, e-ticketing? Because it is too easy. It makes too much sense. We all have iPhones. Just makes too much sense. Cash at concession stands, another thing. It's too easy now to scan a card, to tap a card, whatever it may be, for that to not be the only option at some of those things. You know, the handing back and forth of cash. I know there's going to come a point in time where COVID is just part of our lives, and you know, we aren't going to be hiding from it the way we're you know, hiding from it right now. But I do think cashless transactions were something that was happening anyway before all this, and this just is probably going to hasten the disappearance of cash in a lot of ways, coins especially, probably. Why I have it in for coins, I don't know. Crowd management, obviously, only so much you can do when you're trying to squeeze 80,000 people into a large facility. But you wonder if over time the entrances don't start getting bigger, somehow the bathroom entrances don't start getting bigger, things like that. I don't know how you can really separate people in the crowd if you're maxing out capacity. That seems impossible, but there are some other little things maybe you can do to keep people from sitting in each other's laps or breathing down people's necks, whatever it may be. I don't know if this is going to be a deal where college football programs are going to have to cut capacity to 75% or something like that for an enduring period of time. I have no idea. That wouldn't stand a reason to me, but who knows? We don't know what this is going to look like on the back end of this. But I think crowd management is obviously going to be something everybody's going to do a lot of thinking about kind of moving forward. Facilities, the way facilities are probably laid out, you know, locker rooms are people right on top of people. Training facilities in some cases can be have people closely quartered. That's probably not the right way to put that, because quartered means cut into a fourth. Close proximity. You kind of wonder if now that won't change. I'm sure there are all sorts of new medical and sanitation protocols are going to come from this that are going to affect college sports in all sorts of different ways. But this could lead to colleges rethinking how they not only plan their facilities or lay out their facilities, but also how they use their facilities. Medical spaces as well are probably something that are going to be subjected to, you know, some different protocols, I would have to think. Obviously, a lot of this remains to be seen. People are going to have to sit down. We're going to have to know where we are with COVID. All the information is going to have to be presented. Smart people are going to have to really put some time talking and thinking about this and kind of decide where to go from there. But, you know, the other part of this, too, is I think don't see any way around this affecting the way college athletic departments spend money. Right now, obviously, is different because you're dealing with an unprecedented financial crisis to college sports. Not that that's the least of anyone's concerns in the big picture, but it is an unprecedented financial crisis nonetheless. All sorts of budgets are being torn to hell. Schools are dropping sports. People are taking salary cuts, furloughs, whatever it may be. That is the short-term issue. You wonder if the long-term fallout from this won't be, you know, college athletic departments at the peak of spending right now probably don't rethink the way they're spending money. Not necessarily because anyone's expecting another pandemic to hit. You know, obviously, hopefully it does not. But this is a reminder of how vulnerable you are when you spend your money pretty liberally. And, you know, college athletic programs, this has become a real Cold War in terms of spending. And, you know, coaching salaries obviously have gone crazy. Facility projects have, have gotten pricier and pricier and bigger and bigger. And I do think, you know, with there being some mechanisms in place moving forward where student athletes can get a little bit more for themselves and in terms of the name, image, likeness thing, there might be a little bit less compulsion on athletic department's part to make sure all their money's accounted for, because I do think that's part of the reason athletic departments spend the way they do is so that there's not a big pile of money laying over there for the athletes, somebody to ask for on the athlete's behalf. But I think some common sense types of things beyond the things that the market dictates, which would be coaching salaries, to a lesser extent facilities. I think travel is going to be something everybody looks really hard at, because, you know, there's like basketball teams charter everywhere, football charters pretty much everywhere. There might be situations here and there where you can just bus or go commercial and save a few thousand dollars. When I say a few thousand dollars, I mean tens of thousands of dollars, which based on the way colleges spend their money on athletic departments, a few thousand dollars and a few tens of thousands of dollars are probably synonymous with one another. But I think that's probably something people look at a lot. I think regional competition is something that gets looked at really, really closely in terms of, especially in terms of Olympic sports. Now, some of them are bound by their climate. Baseball has got to go south to play at the start of their season because they can't play. It's too cold to play where they're from. But you do kind of wonder if those sorts of things don't change a little bit more to the best they can in terms of playing closer to home, Midwest teams playing in the Midwest and being able to travel there without, you know, incurring significant costs. I don't want to pick on the Olympic sports. I know that, you know, they aren't the revenue generators that other sports are. That doesn't necessarily mean they should be treated any less than football and basketball, but that's simply the reality of it. Is sometimes you don't want, it's not ideal to spend money on enterprises that don't necessarily make money. So you do kind of wonder about travel in terms of Olympic sports and what that might mean for how they compete, who they compete against, and most importantly, where they compete. But I do think, you know, travel is going to be something that every athletic department really, really looks at in terms of how its revenue sports travel, what can be saved there, but also how travel money is being spent elsewhere. That probably goes to recruiting too. You know, recruiting budgets are getting pretty robust. That's not to say every school has what they need to compete at the level that they are expected to compete at, but you know, some of the travel too there in terms of flying assistant coaches all over the country during evaluation periods and whatnot is necessary competitively. And I don't know what the solution is there, but that's part of travel as well. Again, the digital part of recruiting, I don't know if that can ever be a thing really that replaces the way it's done now. But any way it can be done, I think would be very beneficial across the board. But I do think this changes the way athletic departments spend money. How kind of remains to be seen. But those are just a couple of things that kind of jump out to me as things that, you know, probably change in college sports in some manner following all of this that we've gone through the past couple of months. Obviously, you know, things are going to change pretty considerably financially with any impact that's incurred by football. If there's no football this spring, which we're trending toward there being football, but if there's no football this spring, you're going to see sports dropped. You're going to see people laid off. You're going to see absolute scorched earth. If there's football without fans and you can't make any gate revenue or anything that goes along with it, you know, you're still going to take a pretty nasty punch to the face financially. Things are going to change, whether that's sports getting dropped. I don't know if it necessarily goes that far at a place like Purdue, but you are going to see salary reductions. You would see potentially layoffs. I don't know, but football is a huge part of this. But I do think, regardless of the impact of whatever happens to football this spring, there might be some enduring change, too, that comes out of this from a financial perspective in terms of the way college athletic departments go about their business. So this could be kind of the organic market correction that is forced upon college athletics as opposed to college athletics coming to on its own accord. So that's what I got. I am talking in circles again. That's always the way to know that these videos are over. This has been your GoldenBlack.com Daily Quarantine Simulcast for Thursday, May 21st. We are winding these down, most likely. I don't know how long I'm going to go into the summer with these, but this has been your second to last one for the week. It's been brought to you by Fobbs Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Chargers Team Remax Ability Plus. Reminding you once again, you're looking for a hell of a deal, a hell of a dinner, or simply to support our local businesses, please keep in mind the East End Grill, Sixth Street Dive, Arnie's, Bruno's, the Whitaker Inn, Triple X. All of them have been good to us, and we'd appreciate it if you would be good to them. Thanks, everybody.